So this is a very interesting sugya called Kavod HaBrios, or human decency. And it finds itself, it surfaces itself in multiple places throughout Shas, where a person, halacha, makes a person in a very uncomfortable situation. Now, here's the disclaimer. Nothing that we talk about could be relied upon halachically. And even more importantly than that, don't make your own juxtapositions and analogies to Kavod HaBrios and halacha. Oh, you know what? I think for human decency, I need a cheeseburger and a milkshake, right? It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. As we'll see, that the guidelines are extremely limited. But there are places in halacha where we find, for example, situations which are mutter. I'm going to give you one or two examples where it's permissible, and then we'll see the sugya. So the most famous one is the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, in those days, it seems like they had not yet invented toilet paper. And people use smooth stones to clean themselves after they went to the bathroom. Now, stone is muktzah on Shabbos, correct? So you're maybe not allowed to use it. But the Gemara says that for Kavod HaBrios, for human decency and human dignity, they permitted a person to use stones, even stones that are muktzah, perhaps, so that he has a way to clean himself. Why? Says the Gemara, Kavod HaBrios, human decency. Additionally, if let's say, we'll see this Gemara in a little while, but let's say somebody is walking on Shabbos and their tzitzis get caught on a gate and it rips the corner right off. So right now it's not an issue halachically about a four-corner garment. It's not even a four-corner garment. It's a three-corner garment. What is the issue? The issue is that you're carrying, because the garment you're wearing serves no purpose whatsoever. Till that point, you were wearing it to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now it's a pointless endeavor. Now let's just say for a moment that that garment that you were wearing wasn't just like what we wear nowadays, you know, our talis katan that we put underneath our shirt. You were wearing some kind of poncho, and it had four corners and it had tzitzis, and it gets ripped off. And by taking it off, it may reveal some of you. That could be a problem halachically. So Mar says, If it's a rishus rabbanan, it's a karmelis, it's only rabbinically prohibited, domain, then als kavod habrios, so that a person shouldn't have to reveal themselves or make themselves not tznius, not modest. The halacha is that they can continue wearing it until they get home, and then they have to take it off. So these are two exceptions in halacha where we push away a prohibition for kavod habrios, for debt human decency. And it happens to be that both of them are derabbanans. They're both rabbinic. So let's see where this starts. So this is really Gemara Maseches Brachos. The Gemara Maseches Brachos Nach Yutesim Beis says, Amar Rabbi Huda Marav, Hamotzi Kilayim Bebigdo. If a person all of a sudden realizes that he's wearing Kilayim. Kilayim is wool and linen together. So I'll give you an example. A fellow is wearing a nice fancy Hugo Boss suit, and he didn't check it for Shatnas. He didn't know. He was lazy. I don't know. Whatever the reason is. And all of a sudden, he gets a text message. All Hugo Boss suits that were sold last week in Macy's have Shabbos in them. So the Gemara says, Poshta, you have to take off your suit. Bafilu Bishuk, even if you're walking through ShopRite, and your pants are Shatnez, you have to drop your pants by the Shatnez check. I don't know. Says the Gemara, why? My time. What do you mean? The guy's going to be embarrassed. Says the Gemara, Ein Chachma. There's no excuses when it comes to fulfilling the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Any place where there's a desecration of Hashem's name because a prohibition is being violated, the halacha is, it doesn't make a difference. Human dignity does not take precedence. So Gemara asks, what do you mean? We find in certain places that Gadol Kavod HaBrios, that human decency and human dignity does sometimes take precedence in halacha. So the Gemara says, eventually comes out of this Gemara, that it's a question how to learn the Gemara properly, but more or less comes out of this Gemara that, I'll give you just a few examples. The Gemara brings a bunch of different cases, but I'll throw a few of them out, how the Gemara resolves them. The Gemara says, halacha is that if, let's say, you went to a funeral and the avel, the mourner, is walking back and he's all, bamboozled and he's emotionally wrecked and you want to accompany him, you don't want him to walk himself, and he walks in a derech tumah, he walks through a place where there is possible tumah, a corpse or some dead body, and you can't go there. You're a Kohen, let's say, or you're a Nazir. So halacha is, the Gemara says you could follow him. Why? For human dignity, it's not fair to leave a person in their greatest moment of need. So Gemara says, you see that you could. You could, human dignity does override halacha. Gemara says, no, that the Bryce is not talking about a case of a regular dead body. It's something called a beis hapras. We've had this concept in Shas multiple times. Beis hapras is a field that was plowed, and in the field was a kever. In the field was a grave. And now there's bones scattered and strewed all over the field. So the chachamim were gozer, the rabbis decreed that you're not allowed to go there. It's considered tameh, but only rabbinically, because unless you know there has to be a certain amount there, and you have to know that it's there. So bottom line is, this that it says that you can go with the avel on the derech tameya, you could take the path of tuma, that's only rabbinically prohibited path. That's beis hapras. That's this type of field that had a grave plowed up in it. Mar also gives another example. Gemara says that it says in the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia that if, let's say, a fellow is walking down the street, let me think of a good example of this. Yeah, you're walking down the street and you see a lost item. And that lost item it's a bong. You know what a bong is? Ever know what a bong is?
Yeah, for drugs.
Correct. It's a bong. And it has a name on it. It says on it, you know, Chatzkel Goldberg. And you know, Chatzkel Bar Goldberg lost his bong. But you're a chashev rav. And imagine you walking down the street holding a bong. And people would be like, ooh, that rav is taking things to a new high, right? So the Gemara says, Zakei Veino Lefichvodo, if he's an elderly person, and it's not Lefichvodo, it's not appropriate. The halacha is he doesn't have to pick up the lost item. Even though ordinarily the Torah says, Hashiv Teshivim, you have to return it. Lo Sucha Le'Salim, you're not allowed to ignore it. You have to pick up the lost item. But if it's not Lefichvodo, if it's disgraceful to your honor to pick it up, because you're a prestigious person, you don't have to pick it up. Says the Gemara, why not? Why not? What are you going to tell me? Kavod Abrius, that it's disrespectful, it's not dignified for a rabbi of your stature to pick something like that up? What do you mean? But we just got through in the Gemara. The Gemara says that, you know, that ain't tvuna, ain't chachma, ain't tvuna, ain't etzel neged Hashem. Kavod Abrius doesn't push away a biblical law. The Gemara says, no, there's a special pasuk there of v'hi salamta. The Torah says, it says specifically over there, v'hi salamta, and we've learned to amim shata yachol l'hi salam, we have a special drasha that teaches us that in this situation, it's permitted. So Mara says, so let's learn from there. Let's learn from that case that maybe the Torah is teaching us that for dignity, it's permissible. Mara says, that's not going to help you anyways. The reason it's not going to help you is because even if you want to learn things out, there it's just mammon. There it's just a loss of mammon, of money. If you don't pick up the bong, the guy will have to buy a new one. I don't know. I have no idea how much bongs cost. He has to buy a new bong. But it's just a loss of money. It's not isser in essence that could happen. You know. So therefore, the Gemara wants to say that you can't learn from here. It's a regular case of isser of prohibition. And then finally, the Gemara gives the last case. And the last case is a guy who is going to shecht his carbon Pesach. And all of a sudden, he comes across a meis mitzvah. What's that? A deceased person who clearly was neglected, abandoned, or a homeless person. And no one is going to take care of this fellow and give him a respectable and an honorable burial. It's not okay. So the Gemara says that it's permissible for you. You're supposed to be mitame. You should go. You should take care of him. Now, the moment you touch this dead person, you just lost your opportunity to bring your carbon Pesach. That's a biblical obligation. As a matter of fact, there's only a few prohibitions in the Torah that are an asseishish ben kares, a positive commandment that if you don't fill it, the punishment is kares, is misa b'dei shemaim, is death in the hands of heaven. So how is it that we permit a person or obligate him to go and make become tameh to this dead person, to this meis mitzvah, this neglected or abandoned corpse? What do you mean he has to bring his carbon Pesach? How come that's permissible? So the Gemara says, we have a special pasuk that teaches us that. So the Gemara says, special pasuk teaches that. The Gemara says, learn from that pasuk. The Gemara says, Shev ve'al tasa'ad. The Gemara says, all you see from there is that it's permissible for you not to do a mitzvah. You don't see it's permissible to violate a prohibition, a kumvase. So we come out like from this Gemara, two things. First of all, if it's rabbinic, could be more lenient. And we say that a rabbinic prohibition in the face of human dignity takes precedence. Second of all, even a biblical prohibition, but if it's just a biblical prohibition, which is passive, Sheva Al Tasa, not going to give your kid a bris, which is one of the cases there, or not bringing a carbon Pesach, that may be permissible in the face of human dignity. But to proactively violate a prohibition, that's not permissible in the face of human dignity. That's what comes out of this Gemara. Now there's another Gemara, another application, and that's in Masechta Shavuos. Gemara says in Masechta Shavuos, and Nachlamin on the base, I'm a Rabbi Bar Huna. Rabbi Bar Huna said, Haitzurva Me'abonan, a Torah scholar. The other Besadusa, he knows testimony. Now we know that Lacha is, the Gemara teaches us, it's a pasuk in the Torah, that if you know testimony, you have to say it. It's prohibited as a lav to withhold testimony. So Mar says, if you're a Tzurim Rabban, you're a great Torah scholar, you know testimony. Bezila bei milsa lebezila bei dina de zutamine. And it's not, it's, I don't know how to say this in the right way, but it doesn't, in Yiddish, you would say it doesn't pass, which means to say, it doesn't behoove somebody like you to go testify about a menial thing in front of one of the lower courts when you're a Supreme Court judge. I understand the flip side of this. On the contrary, if it's halacha, there's nothing too menial. But that's the Gemara says, that if it's, let's say you're a great Torah, prestigious Torah scholar, and to go to court and testify is really beneath your dignity, the halacha is you don't have to go. But the Gemara qualifies, and the Gemara says, Hani mili b'mamona. It's only if the court case was about money. So you not going, there may be some type of loss for someone. However, b'isura, when it comes to prohibition, when it comes to prohibitions, we don't have that permissibility. That's what the Gemara says there. So Tosfos asks a very simple question. The Gemara there says that if, let's say, it's the testimony was matters of Isser and Heter, permissibility, or let's say God did a crime and you could incriminate him, the Gemara there says that it's prohibited. It can only do it pertaining to Mamonis. So Tosfos asks a very simple question. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that if it's a Sheve Al Tase, which means that it's a passive sin, it's prohibited and it's permitted in the face of human dignity. Again, if it's a passive sin, you're just not doing something, then it's permitted in the face of human dignity. So what's the problem? What's wrong if it's an Isser, if it's a prohibition that you were going to testify about, but still, you're just not testifying. That's passive. That's Shev Al Tasa. And the Gemara says in Brachos that even by a Doraisa, by a biblical prohibition, that's permitted. So why does the Gemara say that if the testimony has to do with Isser or prohibition, that it is Asser and you can't do it, and it's only permissible for Mamonos, for monetary matters? So Tosfos has a tremendous chiddush. And Tosfos says that there's levels of disgrace. There's levels of embarrassment. There's levels of a lack of dignity. He says when it's a situation of Gnai Gadol, it's a tremendous, lack of dignity. Then the halacha is that even a biblical prohibition is permitted to violate as long as it's Sheval Tasa, as long as it's passive, you're just not doing something. But if it's only a small inconvenience, it's a small affront to your dignity, then you don't have the permission. You don't have the permission of Sheval Tasa, of just because it's a passive type of sin, is permitted to do it. So this is a great chiddush of Tosfos. Even the Gemara in Brachos doesn't say a word about this. The Gemara in Shavuos doesn't say this difference. But Tosfos is mechadish. He says it depends on the level of indignity. If it's a great indignity, it's greatly humiliating, then it's permissible even to violate a negative commandment from the Torah as long as it's passive. However, if it's only a small amount of indignity, it's only a small amount of embarrassment, then if it's biblical, you have no permission to violate that even in a passive way. That's what Tosfos says. So that's the Tosfos over there in Masechta Shavuos. The fun begins in the Rambam, because the Rambam in Hilchos Kilayim, prohibited mixtures, the Rambam speaks about the prohibition of shachnis. Listen to this Rambam. The Rambam says, "Haroya kilayim shel Torah al chaveru." You're walking down, you walk at the shul, this is even better. You walk at the shul Shabbos morning and you see your friend showing off his new Hugo Boss suit to everybody around him. And you know the suit is shachnis. Afiyu al hamahalch b'shuk, even if your friend is in the middle of the marketplace, he's in the middle of Shoprite, he's in the middle of shul by Kiddush. Kaifetzlei, you jump on him, the kaire, and you rip the suit off of him. Vafilu haya rabo, even if it's your rebbe, you're wearing the Hugo Boss suit. She ain't covered up, because human dignity does not push off an explicit negative commandment in the Torah. So Rama Paskins, a guy's wearing a boss suit. You see the boss suit. He's wearing boss pants. Let's just make it a little bit more complex. You see him wearing boss pants. Rabbi Yid, I'm sorry. Zay gezunt. You take the pants off. Hello. You can't violate a negative commandment. But then the Rambam asks, and the Rambam says, so how come when it comes to returning a lost object, do we use indignity as a possibility for a person to not pick the object up? In the case of the rabbi picking up something that really doesn't behoove him, there it's permissible. So the Rambam says, because there it's a lav shel mamon. It's just money. It's a monetary thing that you don't want a guy to cause loss. By monetary things, we relieve. Says the Rambam, how about tumas meis? Why do we permit a person to go contaminate himself to a abandoned dead body? The Rambam says over there, we have a special pasuk. And then the Rambam adds, and the Rambam says, however, you should know when there's only a rabbinic prohibition, then human dignity overrides rabbinic prohibition. Says the Rambam, even though every rabbinic prohibition is sourced in the Torah, because the Torah says, lo sasser, you shouldn't stray right or left when the Rabbanon saying. Says the Rambam, no, because of kavod habrios, we permit it. And therefore, says the Rambam, if the shatnez that the fellow is wearing, the woolen linen he's wearing, is only rabbinically prohibited, that means to say it's not woven together, for example. So he has a garment that has a piece of wool and a piece of linen in it. I don't know, for example, like that. It's only also the Rabbanon. Then the halacha is, you have no permissibility to tear it and to make him take it off because he has the right for human dignity. That's what the Rambam says. The problem is the Rambam forgot about one very important, crucial detail. The Rambam should have written the heter of sheve al tase. Here the Rambam provides all the details from the different Gemaras about when it's permissible and when it's prohibited to violate a Torah commandment for human dignity. And the Rambam leaves out one of the most important ones, which is sheve al tase. Why did the Rambam say that even if it's a biblical one, but if it's a passive one, it's permitted? Some other Rambam neglects that very important detail, that even in a biblical prohibition, but if it's no action, it's passive, halacha is it's permitted. And the Rambam, for some reason, neglected that. And the Refarshim, I'll ask this question. The Chen Shlomo says an answer which is a tremendous chiddush, and the Gemara doesn't say it. It's kind of, you don't usually find people making up these kind of answers. And he says, because we really have two psukim. We have the pasuk that the Torah teaches us by Hashavas Aveda, by returning a lost object, that if it's not according to your dignity, you don't have to return it. We have a pasuk that tells us that you should contaminate yourself, you should be metapel, you should deal with the dead body that's neglected. So that's two psukim. And we have a rule, Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echarei Malam. When you have two psukim in the Torah that teach us the same concept, it only implies in those two cases and nowhere else. Because if it applied on... Because if not, the Torah should have just written it one, and we could have extrapolated from that. So says the Chen Shlomo, tremendous chiddush. Usually Gemara says these type of things. Gemara doesn't say this. That because you have two exceptions, that's the way that we're, the rule of exceptions in the Torah is that if you have two exceptions, it's only in those two exceptions and nowhere else. Therefore, the Rambam doesn't paskin la'alacha that passivity or inaction makes any difference whatsoever. That's what the Chen Shlomo wants to say. And it's difficult because the Gemara really doesn't say it. Okay. There's a fascinating chakira. Hakira means two ways to understand one concept. From Rebbe Chodom Wasserman, the great Rosh Hashiva Baranovich, Hashem Yimkaim Domai, may Hashem avenge his blood. He was murdered in the ninth effort in Kovna. And Rebbe Chodom Wasserman declares the following Hakira. He wonders like this. Why is it, says Rebbe Chodom Wasserman, that there's a difference between Sheva Altasa and Kumvasi? Why is it that according to the Gemara, if it's passive, we say, you know what, let's reckon human dignity. But if it's active, you're doing something that's prohibited, then we don't factor in human dignity. Why? So he has two ways, two possible understandings in why. Number one is maybe a proactive prohibition is a greater sin than a passive sin, which kind of makes sense. Not doing something that you're supposed to do is probably a lesser level of sin than doing something you're not supposed to do. I know if you're a teacher, especially a high school teacher, you always say that no, not doing your homework is as bad as doing something wrong. I understand. I never said that, but I've heard that from high school teachers in my days when teachers actually used to tell kids things that mattered. But now we just say, oh, it's all good. Hashem loves you. And that's what's most important. Stay on the derech. I'm joking. I'm being facetious. But anyways, the Rebbe Chodom Wasserman says, maybe you could say that there's a difference in stringency, in level of chomer, of intensity of prohibition. If it's a kumvase, it's worse, then we don't factor in human dini. But if it's just passivity, you're sitting and doing nothing, then it's permitted. And the chacham have a right to factor in the human dignity as well. And we find this in halacha, that yesh koach piyach chacham laka dami na Torah v'sheva atas. The chacham could tell you not to do a positive commandment. Like, don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Don't take a lulav on Shabbos. But they can't tell you eat pork or eat on Yom Kippur. So we do find there's a difference. So that's one way of understanding it. That the reason that it pushes away a passive commandment is because it's not so intense, but an active commandment is considered much more intense halachically. That's one way. Or, says Rabbi Chanan, maybe there's a different way to understand it. And that is the following. That no, kavod habrios, human dignity on one hand, and an iser on the other hand, are the same value. They're both important. So like this. What do you do when you're in conflict in halacha? One thing is telling you kavod habrios, human dignity. The other is telling you the Torah says you can't do it. What do you do? The answer is nothing. Therefore, if it's a sheval tas, it's passive, you don't have to do anything. Don't say the testimony. Don't pick up the object. Because we can't tell you to pick it up because of human decency. But when you have an impasse between a prohibition and of human dignity and a prohibition, we can't tell you do the prohibition, because who says that that's considered stronger? Therefore, sheval tasa, the Torah says, don't do anything. If it's a proactive prohibition, don't do anything. It's not violating the prohibition. Those are the two ways to understand. So the Stipler of Yaakov, Yisrael Kanievsky, the Sefer Kilas Yaakov's commentary on Masechah Shmuas, he wants to bring a proof to one of the sides of understanding, one of the ways of understanding. And he brings it from the Gemara and Shmuas that we brought down before. The Gemara says in Masechah Shmuas, pertaining to a Talmud Chacham that knows testimony, the halacha is, if it's a testimony of Isser for his friend, that means he'll testify that this guy ate something he shouldn't have eaten, or that this object is prohibited to be eaten. The halacha is, he's not allowed to hold back his testimony, even though it conflicts his own human dignity. It means you have a great Torah scholar going into a petty court and testifying about Isser, about prohibition. The Gemara says he has to. He has no way to get around. Says Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, why? Why? If not saying testimony is only passive, and it's passive, kavod abrios in this situation is at an impasse with not saying testimony. You have not saying testimony on one hand, you have human dignity on the other hand, don't do anything. So don't do anything would mean don't say the testimony. So how come Tosus says that only if it's pertaining to money, then you could not say testimony, but pertains to Isser, you have to say it. What do you mean? If the whole point here is Shev Haltasa, that because when you have two conflicting concepts, you can't do anything, well, don't say the testimony. Maybe that's the right way to look at it. So you see from this, says Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, that that's not the point. The reason that when you have human dignity conflicting with a passive prohibition, you just don't do anything, is just because a passive prohibition is not as chamur. Then that's only not so strict or so chamur when it pertains to money. But if it pertains to Isser, it's considered more strict. Then it's like a kumvase. Then it's like a proactive prohibition. Therefore, the Torah says you can't do it. The Gemara says you can't do it. That's the Stipler, and that's the proof he wants to do. Now, the Rush argues on the Rambam. Remember, we said the Rambam before. You see a guy in shul. He's wearing Hugo Boss pants. You know it's Shatnez. He doesn't know it's Shatnez. Says the Rambam, take off his pants in public. Says the Rush, that's not true. If the fellow did it bishogeg, he didn't know that they have shatnez in it. Leave him. Don't touch him. Don't touch him. That's the opinion of the Rush. And the Tur brings this as a machlokas. And according to the Rambam, even if the guy's wearing it unintentionally, take off his pants, take off his jacket, rip off his clothing, he can't wear shatnez. However, according to the Rush, says the Tur, the halacha is if it's just the shogeg, it's just by mistake, then the halacha is that you do not have to take off his clothing from him. That's how the Tur brings it down. The Bach actually says that there's no machlokas. The Rambam was talking about where it's been mazid, where it's intentional. And the Rush is talking about where it's b'shogeg, where it's unintentional. Says the Bach, they would both agree. If it's intentional, a guy comes into shul and says, wow, check out my newest pair of shatnez pants. What brand is it, sir? Shatnez. then the halacha is you get to, everyone would agree to take his pants off. But if it's Peshoi, he doesn't know, then it's Mutter. So the Bach doesn't learn it's a machlokas at all. Now, you just have to understand, what's the difference? What's the difference if it's Shogeg or Mezid? And if the guy did it by mistake, he's still violating a Torah prohibition by wearing those pants. And you have to stop him from doing that. So what's the difference if it's Peshoi, if it's unintentional? Why is it different than if it's Mezid? The point isn't your intent. The point is that you're violating a prohibition and we have to stop you. So here there's a tremendous discussion in the Achronim, in the latter, in the more recent postgame, as to why I'll just share three or four possible differences. The Noda B'Yehuda, Rav Yecheskel Landau, Zichron Levracha, great last name. The Noda B'Yehuda says that a shogeg, listen carefully, when you do something unintentionally, it's the same level as Sheval Tase, as passive. When you do it b'mezid, then it's the level of kumvase, of proactivity. So again, the Noda B'Yehuda learns that when someone does something accidentally, it has the same level of prohibition of a shev ve'al tase, as a passive sin. But if it's mezid, it's like a kumvase. It's considered proactive, and therefore the halacha is that you can't do it. That's how the Noda B'Yehuda learns. And the Steipler says, we see explicitly from this Noda B'Yehuda, that he learned that the difference between kumvase, proactive, and shev'al tase, passive, is the stringency of prohibition, which was just one side that we saw before in Rabbi Chanan. It's not the other side. Okay, if you got that, good. If not, it's all good. You'll get it next time around. The other Achronim learn, and this is a very big chiddush, that if a person violates a negative commandment by mistake, they don't need kapara. They don't need atonement. So don't tell the guy. As long as he doesn't know, it's not a problem. Which is very problematic because other Achronim say, what do you mean? You bring a carbon chatas if you do something with shogeg. So why would this be different? But that's what some of the Achronim say. Others say that if it's done intentionally, the guy says, hey, check out my brand new state-of-the-art shot in his pants. That's a chil Hashem. And a place of chil Hashem, we can't be quiet, like Pinchas and Zimri and Cosby. We got it. You have to act. You have to be zealous. But if it's b'shogeg, it's not a chil Hashem. No one's doing anything intentional over here. No one's intentionally desecrating Hashem's name. If the halacha is, let the guy retain his human dignity and don't take his clothing off. The Machaneh Chaim, in the final answer, says like this. He says something very interesting. I think this is the most unique of all the answers that I saw. He says, if a guy puts on shot in his pants by mistake, he doesn't violate a prohibition every single minute that he wears those shot in his pants. There's one prohibition. What's that? Putting on the shot in his pants, which he already violated. So once they're on, he doesn't keep, if he does it intentionally, so every second that he leaves his pants on, he gets another avera. But if you don't know, you don't get an avera b'shogeg every second that you're wearing your pants. It's one time, it's putting on, shot in his pants. Once you did that, you don't keep accruing more averas every second. So the guy violated the prohibition already. Let him leave his pants on and let him walk away with his dignity in him. That's how the Machaneh Chaim fascinatingly explains the difference between shogeg unintentional and mezid intentional. I want to conclude with two or three more interesting points on this. One is a story. The Gemara in Maseches Menachos brings a story with Ravina. The Gemara there says that Ravina was walking behind Mar Bar Avashi on Shabbos. It was the Shabbos of the Regel. That means to say it was the Shabbos when many people would get together, when they would Darshan, it's like kind of like Shabbos HaGadol. The rabbi would get up and they would teach all the halachas. So it was a big Shabbos. A lot of people were out there. If Sikana Dechute, they're walking by somewhere and his tzitzis get caught in something and it clearly rips off part of his garment. So he didn't tell. So Ravina didn't say anything to his rabbi. His rabbi didn't notice. He didn't say anything. He let him walk home with his three-corner garment. When they got to the house, he said to him, by the way, you should know that when we were at that spot over there already, your tzitzis ripped, I didn't say anything to you. So he said to him, you should know something. If you would have told me then that my tzitzis ripped, I would have taken off my garment. He says, Gemara, what do you mean? So he said to him, but you yourself said that kavod habris, the human dignity, is a chashuv thing. It pushes away Torah commandments. So Gemara there says, no. It was, that is only when it's a derabbanan, when it's a rabbinic prohibition. But this maybe was a biblical one. So that's the Gemara over there in Maseches Menachos. So it comes out that what he was when he said that if you're allowed to wear your clothing, it's only if it's in a rabbinic place. But if it's at the biblical place, then the halacha is that biblical, then you would have to take it off. That's what the Gemara says over there. So we see another application of this. Here are a few halachos that apply nowadays about Kavadah Brios, and there's a very big discussion amongst the poskim as to how this works. Number one is in Hilchas Tzitzis. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that if a person finds out on Shabbos while he's walking outside that his talis is pasul, the halacha is he does not have to wear it, take it off until he gets to his house, because Gadol Kavad HaBrius, because it's embarrassing for him to have to take his talis off in public. I think in that situation we're talking about where his talis is not just a talis, it's also covering him partially, and therefore it's embarrassing. Therefore, he doesn't have to take it off. However, the Machaber paskins that that's only in a karmelis, in an area where carrying is only rabbinically prohibited. According to many nowadays, almost every area that we have is a karmelis, because the definition of Rosh Hashanah is a place that 600,000 people walk on every day. There's very few places in the world like that. But according to many, that's not the definition of Rosh Hashanah. It just has to be 16 amos, so about 32 feet wide. This guy's walking on a street that's 32 feet wide. If it could be a biblically, we'll have to take, if it's a biblical prohibition, maybe he has to take his talis off, questionable. But where it becomes more practical to us is if you're sitting in shul, and all of a sudden you realize that your tzitzis are pasul, talis is pasul, and there's no other talisim in the shul. Do you have to take off your talis and sit there with no talis? It's very embarrassing. So there the poskim speak about halacha like this. If you knew before Shabbos that your talis was ripped, well then you can't wear the talis. Why can't you wear the talis? Because it's negligence. You should have fixed it before Shabbos. But if you didn't know, you just realized it right now, then the halacha is it's permissible for a person to sit there, even though he's wearing a four-corner garment that doesn't have four kosher tzitzis on it. But because of kavadah brios, human dignity, we let him sit there. I mean, that is a sheval tasa. That is passive. He's not doing anything active. So perhaps in that situation, that's the reason why they were matur. They permitted for a person to do it. The next application, which is the more classic one, probably most well-known, is the toilet paper halacha. What happens if you walk into the bathroom, you're in your own home or you've been someone else's home, and there's no Shabbos paper? Not allowed to tear toilet paper on Shabbos. Are you allowed? What do you do? What do you do? So here's a big machlokas achroni. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef paskins in Yalkut Yosef that the halacha is that you could tear toilet paper. You're not obligated to not wipe yourself after you go to the bathroom. You could tear toilet paper. However, he says you shouldn't do it in a regular fashion. You should tear it with your leg, roll it out and tear it with your leg. And also many say, you should, he himself says this as well, make sure not to tear it along the perforations because that's making it into a perfect kli. You should try to rip it not on the perforations, but why is it that we're lenient in that situation? Because it's kavod habrios, it's human dignity. A person can't, we can't expect a person not to wipe himself. Others are not as beneficial or as benevolent. And they say that there's no permission in that situation. Rule of thumb is make sure that you have toilet paper with you wherever you go on Shabbos. I didn't say that. Tissues with you wherever you go on Shabbos. But that's the shaila in halacha. And that's, according to many poskim, a person would be permissible. Another question is you're in somebody's house. You're in someone's house. You go to the bathroom and you notice that they have clipped onto the toilet like one of these things that when you flush it, it releases color into the toilet. In America, it's not so common. In Israel, it's very common. It's like that little plastic thing that clips onto the side of the toilet, and it's got like blue junk in it. You flush it, and it has a nice fragrance, and it makes the toilet water blue. You know, I'll do that on Shabbos. That's tzoveya. That's dying, and that's prohibited on Shabbos. So what do? You go to the bathroom in someone's house, you're not going to flush? So here the poskim say that the best thing to do is you should flush, but you first should take out that little tiny capsule, whatever it is, that making it color. Now, that's muktzah. So how do you do that? So in this situation, we rely on the heter that you're allowed to move muktzah in an abnormal fashion. You kick it out, you push it out with your elbow, you do something abnormal. Even though not everyone agrees that you can move muktzah in an abnormal fashion always, but because of kavod habrios, because of human dignity, that you shouldn't not flush the toilet in your friend's house, it's kind of disgusting. They permitted a person in that situation to kick off the muktzah, move the muktzah, and like this, they're able to flush the toilet once the muktzah has already been moved. That is another application of this halacha. And yet there's two more applications in halacha, And one, this is a very interesting shaila. Halacha is, this is in Mishael Sechuva Sholom Eishi from Rabbi Yosef Shalom Natanzon. A guy came over to him and said to him, Rebbe, take a look at me. I'm so embarrassed. I can't even walk in public. It seems like this guy, half of his beard turned white, literally. And the other half was black. He looked like a human black and white cookie or a zebra. Half his beard was white and half was black. And he was embarrassed to go in public. They could put him on, you know, Barnum Bailey's freak show. So what's the shiloh? He asked Rebbe, can I dye the white part of my beard black? What's the problem with that? Dyeing one's hair is a Torah prohibition. It's a lo silbash gever simlas isha. Dyeing, the Shulchan Aruch writes, is included in the prohibition of men doing womanly things, cross-dressing and other things. So the fellow wanted to know if kavod abrios, if human dignity and human decency and self-respect will override dyeing his beard. So at least he can walk in public. So at the end, Reb Shaul Natanzan shows that in this situation where you're dyeing your beard for this reason, because it's half white and half black, that the prohibition is only derabbanan. It's a long piece over there. It's only rabbinic. And therefore, he was mad to the fellow. He said, listen, it's kavod abrios in a rabbinic prohibition. And he was mad to him. He told the fellow he's allowed to dye the other half of his beard. So another application. And the final application is the halacha that the Gemara speaks about in Maseches Makos, and also the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Hanhagas Adam Baboker, right at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, it says Hamasha Nekavav. If a person holds himself back from going to the bathroom, he violates one or possibly two Torah prohibitions. So what does that mean? If you need the bathroom and you're amongst other people, you have to go over to the closest fire hydrant and relieve yourself. That's not human dignity. So the Mishabruha in Hilchos Hanhagas Adam Baboker writes that it's for human dignity, we permit you to not go to the bathroom. Again, it's Sheva Al-Tasa, I guess. Doesn't sound very good. Sit and don't make. But he says the Mishnah Brura that halacha is you could find a makom tzanua, you could find a rest area, you could find a bathroom that you could use. You're not obligated to go at the side of the road just because you have an urge to go and you don't want to violate the negative commandment. So that would be permissible. And then finally, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein in his Sefer Vavei HaAmudim brings down a shayla about correcting a bar mitzvah boy for mistakes that he makes when he reads the Torah. He says it's embarrassing in front of his family and his friends, and the problem is if he makes a mistake according to halacha, could be you have to do it again. But if you have to do it again, he's going to say a bracha levatala when he makes a shana sanlanu teras ames. He's saying a bracha in vain because lemaisa he didn't read properly. So how do we reckon that? So he wants to speak that maybe. If the kid is not yet a gadol, some shuls they let the kid read haftorah before his bar mitzvah. Maybe it's not a doraisa; it's only a derabbanan. Maybe you don't have to correct him. So he talks about that. But then at the end, he brings in the name of his father-in-law, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein's father-in-law, Lahavdil Lechaim Lechaim, was Rebbe Yashiv, Rabbi Yosef Shalom Yashiv. Rebbe Yashiv writes in classic Rebbe Yashiv fashion: the making a mistake is not zilzul; it's not a disgraceful thing; it's not a tampering with human dignity. He says, on the contrary, he says, it's normal. Human beings make mistakes, particularly when they read Torah. And if somebody makes a mistake, it's okay. Nobody's going to be upset at you. I mean, it's not fun, but the kid has to understand, and he should be taught this way. Before his bar mitzvah, you should know if you make a mistake, it's fine. We're going to correct it because we want to have a perfect Torah reading. And you're human, and every bar mitzvah kid probably makes a mistake. But that's not considered in the face of human dignity not to correct the kids. With that being said, this is one of my pet peeves. If particularly when a bar mitzvah boy lanes, and really when anyone lanes, really it should be off limits to the congregation to correct. There's a gabbai, there's a rabbi, maybe there's a gabbai sheni. Those should be the people that correct. Sometimes the poor bal korei makes a mistake and from every corner of the shul, he's under a firing squad, automatic weapons, boom, 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 boom. Relax. The gabbai heard it. The Rav heard it. If he goes further and no one corrects him, I hear maybe there's a reason to gently correct him. But there's a certain joy that people get by correcting. It's not fair. The Bal Korei is a volunteer in most shuls who spends a lot of time preparing. And if he makes a mistake, let it be done in a quiet and calm fashion. And particularly how much more so when it comes to bar mitzvah boys. If we see that kavod habrios, human decency and human dignity, pushes away Torah prohibitions, well, let's try to be dignified in the way that we correct the bar mitzvah bachar. I really feel that there should be institution in every shul and klal yisrael that only one person should be able to correct bar mitzvah boys. His father, maybe the gabbai who sits right next to him that could whisper, no, they wouldn't like that. Or maybe the rav also, because when the rav corrects you, it's maybe not as embarrassing. But we see the importance of kavod abrios, of human dignity, and let's make sure that we upgrade the human dignity in each of any one of our lives, because you see, even the Torah does reckon that. So I hope this was interesting. We danced around a lot of different points and ideas and concepts. And amidst Hashem, with Hashem's help, we will continue next week with a different shiur on a totally different topic. Thank you so much for coming on board.
Cool.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you so much.
Thank you.